Today, I have the pleasure of continuing our Up In and Out series, and it's we're almost there. This is almost the last one, reaching out, breaking walls down. And I have the privilege of speaking on Matthew 22, 34 to 40, the greatest commandment. Now, you might say, well, what has that got to do with breaking walls down? But I'll argue, well, not argue, I'll tell you what I think. And then it's up to you. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at this passage about the greatest commandment. I'd like to look at the walls that we need to break down. And lastly, I'd like to look at what it means to us as the Hub Church. So firstly, let's get into this passage. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. How many times have we read that passage? So here we have an expert in the law asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? These Sadducees and Pharisees, just as a bit of a background, were the two largest factions in the ruling council of the temple, the Sanhedrin, and they think they know better than Jesus. That's a big mistake, isn't it? And Jesus' response is from Deuteronomy 6, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Let me read that again. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So that's where Jesus' response comes from. And that verse 4, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, is a prayer that comes from a prayer called the Shema. It's a prayer that the Pharisees would have prayed every single day. It's a phrase that is used in every synagogue across this land, in every service. This expert in the law would have known this phrase off by heart. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, I don't know about you, but as I meditated on this week, I think this is a pretty big ask, isn't it? In fact, it's probably the biggest ask that we could have in our lives. You know, I'm going to get a bit arty now, but if our lives were like a painting, the love of God, where's Hazel? Hazel's gone. Oh, hey, there we go, Hazel. Come on. I'm trying to expunge the northern part of me. But the love of God would be like the backwash on the painting. It would be in every brushstroke in the background, and it would be of every fine detail. What am I saying? I'm saying that our love for God colours everything. It colours everything. Before I accepted Jesus, an immature, bit spotty, a bit annoying, well, very annoying to my brothers, a teenager, you know, I was the center of my world. I was. Everything revolved around me. But when I accepted Jesus, something shifted. I made a decision to follow him and place him at the center of my life. No longer was I at the center of my world, but I was putting Jesus at the center of my world. It involved every part of me. It involved my mind. I had to make a decision. It involved my heart in being able to trust God, that he was a good God, that he would look after me, that I could trust my life to him. And I'd say, he has not disappointed. I have to bring everything that I hold dear before him and say, God, will you have your way in this? Will you have your way in my family? Will you be the center of my family? Will you be the center of my work? What does my work look like if you are at the center of my work? What does my finances look like, Lord, if you're at the center of my finances? And my friendships, Lord, will you help me so that I can bring your life to those people around me? It involves my heart. It involves all that I am, my soul, and it all involves my mind. I have to take action. I have to think about it. You know, we cannot live life on autopilot. I know we do, but we have to involve our hearts, our souls, and our minds. They all need to be involved. So what does this have to do with breaking walls down? Well, as I said, when I became a Christian, I had to overcome the fear. Well, what will God ask me to do if I give my life to him? Will he ask me to do something that I don't want to do? I had to lay down, I had to surrender to his will. I had to trust in him. I had to give my fears to him, to trust that my loving Father will overcome and he will lead and guide me. And I believe that today there are some here that need to lay down their fears. They need to lay down and trust and surrender to Jesus today. In every act of faith, it involves overcoming some obstacle. You just look back in your life and think when God led you, when God spoke to you, you had to overcome something in order to step in. Faith is not easy. It's something that we have to step into. If it was easy, it wouldn't be called faith. You have to involve belief. It takes all of our heart, our desires, our emotions, how we think, our actions. And so my last point on this bit is just saying we're told to love the Lord with all of our mind. In Deuteronomy, it's translated as strength. Some translations have it as might. Actually, the Hebrew, it's translated as a word called, I think I can't try and pronounce it, Phil will correct me, miod. Actually, it's also translated as very or much. So when we're told to love God, we're told to love God very much. There's another place that this word is used, and that's in Genesis, when God created mankind. On the 5 days, he said, this is good. On the 6th day, he created you and me, and he said, this is very good. It's the same word. Just imagine all of God's strength, all of his might. This isn't just, oh, it was all right, you know. This is jumping up and down very good. This is you. This is the pinnacle of his creation. That is how much he loves you. This is very, 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 very good. That's how much you mean to him. And just to turn this on its head a little bit, if we reflect God, just think if we turn this from God's perspective, if God were to say to us, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, because we reflect him. So, coming back to our passage, the question was, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded with not one commandment, but two. If I were that Pharisee, I'd have said, hang on, Jesus, I asked for one, not two. I didn't realize this was a buy one, get one free. But Jesus couldn't stop at the first one because the second one is so important. The two together, all the rules, all the 613 commandments or rules that the Pharisees had set up in place, all hung on these two. I don't think Jesus would have been able to stop and say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That would have missed the point. So he quoted, do not seek revenge, or it comes to it, or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And many commentators think that Jesus adding this second commandment was something that had never been done before. So, where did I take this? Well, let me take you on a little bit of a digression for a second. Back in AD 325, the Emperor Constantine got together a council of Nicaea to look at the nature of Jesus. Hundreds of theologians and religious people and bishops got together, and they concluded that Jesus was of the same substance as the Father. That Jesus was made of the same stuff, if you can put it like that. Sorry, Lord, stuff is not very reverent. But it meant that Jesus, God the Son, was the same as God the Father. And this is one of the pinnacle or the basis on which we believe the Trinity, that Jesus is God. The technical word for it, where is it? Is any theologians? Homoousios. I think that's how you pronounce it. That Jesus is the same as the Father. Now, why am I sharing this? Because where we go back to Jesus saying, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. He uses the same word as we've used to derive the Trinity. So I hope I'm not going to, you know, be theologically unsound now, but this is my interpretation of this. That these two commandments go together. You can't love one and not love the other. Without them, all the rules fall to nothing. So this is where I took it. In my head, I had a picture of two identical children. And so I picked that out online. And my point is this, wouldn't it be a ridiculous notion to love one but not love the other? They're made of the same DNA. They're of the same stuff. The two go together. They come as a package. You can't love one and not the other. They're adorable, aren't they? I like that picture. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and in some translations, all your strength, you won't be able to help but not love or love your neighbor. Because the love of God will compel you to help those in need when he puts that within you to do. And similarly, when we love our neighbor, actually, that service is like we're loving God, because it's the love of God through us that will flow out to them. We don't do service because we have to or it ought to. We do it because we're serving the King. And if there were no one else around, we do it for him, because we love him. So anybody who says to me, well, you know, my faith, well, it's a bit personal. You know, I just keep it to myself. You know, I something inside me says, well, I think you've got a question. How much do you really love God? I'm sure I'll get a bit of flack for that. But looking at it another way is, do you let the barriers or walls stop you from fulfilling what God has for you? To love your neighbor involves your heart, your soul, your mind. You have to think about it. You have to think about how. Now, I know we're not perfect and we're all on a journey, but the Spirit, God wants to fill each one of us with his Spirit, and he wants that living water to flow out through you and through me. You know, in Deuteronomy, God knows what we're like. He wants his word to be on our hearts and on our lips. So he tells the Israelites, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. On your daily commute, talk about it. Think about it. When you lie down and when you get up, in the morning, in the evening, this is just every day. Have the love of God, Jesus, on your lips. Just make it something that's so natural. The problem is, I don't know about you, but it's this word. Let me go back. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't really like that bit. Self. I'm a bit selfish. Don't know about you, but my trying to get out from being selfish is difficult. You know, if the truth be told, I have my seat at the table at the dining room. I have my seat that Margie moved me off this morning in church. I have my routines this morning. I have my comfortable little bubble that I like. And if people move me out of that, well, you know, you feel a bit, not sure about that. How's this for control? I'm thinking about this made me laugh. I even like my toilet rolls in our bathrooms round a certain way. And I've even been known to go to somebody's house and go to the loo and swap their toilet roll round. Just because I like it a certain way around. And a little voice will strike in my back. If I go to the loo in our house and Margie's put one round, she just doesn't think about these things. I'll think, oh, she's done it to wind me up. How ludicrous is that? How silly. I mean, who can identify with that? Come on. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us. Yeah, get a life. That's exactly right. And the thing is that when we have our control, when God prompts us, when he speaks to us and he says, do this. Why don't you go up and speak to that person? Why don't you bless this person? A thought will come into your mind and you'll think, why don't I go and do that? And then all of these thoughts will flood into your head. Well, I'm not sure. You know, they might not want me to, or all of these doubts and fears come flooding in. I think that's for all of us. And it's because we're self-centered. I think we need to get over ourselves. You know, I know we're all different. Every month I go out into the healing on the streets and I talk to complete strangers about Jesus. And you might think, oh, well, that's just you. But actually, every month I have to overcome the same doubts and fears that everybody else has to overcome. It's just that I've learned that actually this, I want to do this more than the doubts and fears stop me. To love our neighbor means getting over self, not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less, and allowing his love to lead us. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. You know, if God puts somebody in your path and they open up to you, ask yourself, God, what are you doing here? Do you want me to share something with this person? Because Christ has committed to you and me the message of reconciliation. We are reconciliation people. We're ambassadors. We have the life of God. It's in you and in me. So what I'd like to do is like to spend just 5 minutes. How are we doing for time? Yep, okay. 5 minutes just looking at five barriers that I've identified that we need to overcome as part of loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. These are the same barriers that you had to overcome when you accepted Jesus. They're the same barriers in stepping into faith. And if you can recognize them, then you'll be willing to step through them and into faith. So the first one, self-reliance or independence. You know, this is relying on our own resources. You may be gifted. You may be talented in certain things. You may know how to live your life in your little bubble. And so what happens is you just get on with it. You don't need to involve God because you know how to do it, so you don't involve God. But the truth is that God created us to be in relationship with him. It's the difference between going to God to ask him to bless what we are doing rather than asking him to show us what he is doing. Don't get distracted with the music. Let me say that again. It's the difference between going to God to ask him to bless what we're doing rather than asking him to show us what he is doing. Why do we do it? Because it's an easy option. Self-reliance means that you pray to God when every other avenue is exhausted rather than going to him first. Not wanting to ask for help because you can do it. It leads to pride and an inability to admit mistakes or say sorry. Who struggles with saying sorry? Yeah, I do. That's my wife. Jesus was not self-reliant or independent. He's the one that could turn water into wine. Now, business people, what an amazing opportunity that is. If you could bottle that, if you pardon the pun, he'd have done really well. But he could only do that because he had a total reliance on the Father. And in John 5, verse 19, it says that Father showed him everything that he was doing. If we ask God, he will show us what he's doing. But it takes effort. You've got to involve your mind. You've got to involve your heart and your soul. Pressing into God. You know, we need to repent of those things that cause us to be self-reliant. The second thing is fears. If you've ever struggled with this barrier, then you know how it can hold you back. There are many fears that have influence over us. The fears that stop us being obedient to God and also stop us reaching out to others. What are they going to think? What if I get it wrong? You know, David, we're not all like David. David could kill bears and lions with a slingshot. Not all fears are wrong. If a bear or lion was running after you, you know what? I'd suggest you run away. You know, so that fear is actually quite healthy. But the fears I'm talking about are the ones that stop us from pressing into faith. The fear of the unknown. Fear of speaking to somebody that is not like you. The fear of what will others think. 1 John 1:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fears." You know, when I suffered with cancer, you had that nagging doubt all the time. What if, what if, what if? But God is bigger than that. And we can trust our lives to him. His perfect love and his peace overcomes all fears. Judgmental attitudes. John 7 verse 24 says, "Stop judging by mere appearances. Make a right judgment." When God asks us to do something, my experience is that he will give us everything we need. Matthew 7 verses 1 to 2 says, "Do not judge or you too will be judged." Every day in our society, we face wrong judgments. And we can take those on board. You know, in my role in finance, one time, I'll keep it really brief. I encountered this chap in his house, and his house was a state. He had a, can you believe this? He had a box on his sofa, papers all over the place. He had a tortoise in a box on his sofa. I had to move the box to sit down. And there was probably one space that wasn't covered with clutter and junk. The carpets needed replacing. The house needed redecorating. And if I'd learned really very early on that you don't judge a book by its cover. So I went in and I chatted to him about his finances. I came out of that meeting concluding that he knew more about managing money than most of my colleagues did. He was brilliant. He was a multimillionaire. He just lived in a bit of a state, to be honest. I should have told him, "Well, why don't you spend a bit of money and do your place up?" Okay. You know. But that's the way he chose to live. The point is that if I'd have gone in and thought, "Oh, this is going to be a waste of time." Actually, he was a lovely chap, and I learned so much from talking to him. We cannot judge a book by its cover. Every month, I go out onto the streets of Basingstoke and I have no idea who I'm going to talk to. And some of the best conversations we've had are with people that you'd think twice, and literally I'd think twice about walking up to them. Might be covered in, I have to be careful what I say now, covered in tattoos, covered in piercings. You know, but who God is speaking to, we're called to sow the seed of the word of God It's up to God to let it grow. Okay, moving on. Just bear with me a couple more minutes. Unbelief. Our very own Dave Richards said this. It's not about what you know, but about what you believe about what you know. Let me say that again. It's not about what you know, but what you believe about what you know. One of my favorite quotes is from a chap called Ian Andrew who said, "Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs." And that helps me in hearing the voice of God. Loving God with our heart, soul, and mind involves challenging those fears and doubts that stop us from acting. Because God will ask you to do all manner of things. Your neighbor, he might ask you to bless in some way. A person you encounter, he might speak to you. Be open to that Holy Spirit voice. And don't listen to the fears that will seek to stop you. Finally, control. We all like freedom on our own terms. But we need to let go and surrender. You can't put God in a box. There just isn't a box big enough. Some of the best times that I've experienced is when I was simply having to trust in Him and there was no way out. Tuning your heart to seeing what God is doing takes effort. You have to learn to take risks in Him. You have to listen to His voice. It involves your mind. It involves your heart and soul. And therefore, loving your neighbor involves the same faculties as it does involved in loving God. And you can't do one without doing the other. So, how does this affect us? Well, I don't know whether you recognize that. That might be our vision. And can I ask you to dig it out sometime and have another look at it? Because those are the statements of faith, and along with it on the bottom are vision statements that we think God has put on our heart for the next 5 years. Have a look at it. If you haven't seen it for a while, maybe we'll get it back out on our email. But when we got together in the beginning of August and had our prayer meeting, this was a picture that we had for the church in praying for our building. So, maybe it's not about a building. It's not about resources. It's about the church, which is us. We could move into a building without all the work, but are we ready to move? Maybe our prayer should be, Lord, I want to move, but Lord, am I ready to move? Do your work in me to make me ready. God wants to do a work in each one of you. And we need, as leaders, we need the whole church. We need the whole church to be involved in pressing in to God. We need God and we need you to be involved in changing, to press in to all that He has for you, not to hold back. We also had a picture of a great big ball with Andy and a few people trying to move this ball. And it's not going to move until we all get involved and get pushing. Finally, I'd like to finish with this. 5 minutes over, sorry. Last week, Delia shared about a shout that needed to come up. Do you remember? And I believe that shout is something that we each need to take on board. You know, when the Israelites took Jericho, it started with them hearing God. They then had to walk round Jericho 6 times. I mean, how boring was that for 6 days? And then the 7th day, they had to walk round 7 days. It took a lot of effort, a lot of time, and they had to be quiet while they did it. But the walls came down with a shout. And it was by faith that those walls came crashing down. And I just want to encourage you. This morning we've heard about freedom, how our chains are broken. And I want to encourage each one of you to raise a shout over those things that hold you back, because God has set us free. Thank you.